Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I'm very grateful that you chose to join me today on this 26th day of June 2021. We're going to talk about something that is such a touchy subject with most people. And it relates to so many things in the course of our lifetime, and that is self-importance. It is narcissistic. It can lead to a great deal of selfishness. We have a lot of narcissists in this world, people who talk about the whole idea of being important and being self-important. And if you look it up in the dictionary, it means an exaggerated state of one's own value or importance. So what are we talking about when we talk about self-importance? Should the self of us be important? And what is this self? This is such a touchy subject. And I don't think I'm going to be pleasing my audience a great deal here, as you might know. And some of you tune in just for that reason, and others just to argue. But everybody has their fixed ideas about what it means to be important, what it means to have self-importance, and what are we talking about here? This is also attributed to love. So let me say this to you. If you and I do not comprehend or self-realize what authentic love is, then self-importance won't mean anything other than just being arrogant and selfish, narcissistic. If you come to a place where you understand love, real love, authentic love, where you've had that direct, beautiful experience of something greater than the self, then you don't need self-importance. Only the pedestrian mentality needs this. The person who is so deeply insecure and is genetically derived out of their ancestorhood, where everybody was not feeling so great about themselves or didn't feel worthy, whatever it is that people went through, then you start to understand what self-importance really is. It's nothing more than an ego trip. In our world today, spiritual awakening is not considered important at all. In fact, it's not considered at all. It's not even a consideration at all. So when we're talking about what I'm about to share with you here in this particular program, it's probably going to run out one ear and just never really catch hold of anything that is substantial or significant. In one ear, out of the other, it isn't going to mean much. But I do get these questions about the significance of self-importance. And while they don't say it's self-importance, you'll hear in their question what they're really asking. And they want some quote-unquote professional advice as to how to become narcissistic with themselves and make themselves feel better. The nagging thing in every single human being that I have ever known is the whole idea of the narcissism that they desire. They don't like themselves. They don't feel adequate. They don't feel compelled to be, shall we say, socially acceptable. And it is often called importance. So let's go to the questions. The first one from Sam in San Diego. How do I improve my self-importance? I don't seem to feel important at all. In fact, rather useless. And then he goes into all sorts of details about his uselessness. You know, it isn't just in how you're raised either that this comes up, although how our parents treated us and how they thought of us does play a key role in all of this. Tony Robbins has made millions of dollars off of this self-importance thing, trying to amp up people's attitudes about themselves and make themselves feel really important. And of course, that's anything that's in the human psyche is fleeting. It doesn't last long, and it always has to be maintained. There's a lot of maintenance involved. You're never going to change human nature. And whatever is significant down there in the unconscious mind, with all of the chemicals in our brain, if you read Sapolsky, you will understand all of the chemicals that are involved in how we think about ourselves. You'll begin to understand that this is a useless venture trying to make yourself feel important. So, Sam, you give me a list of things of why you're not important. No one thinks to talk to you. Nobody calls you when you're sick. Nobody asks you really how you are. You call yourself an insignificant imbecile. And, you know, I could sit here and probably try to amp up your belief about yourself, which would be absolutely useless. So, maybe the thing to do would be to go in the other direction. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," what do you think he was talking about? What is this poor in spirit mentality, this humility? Instead of being humiliated, maybe the course you need to take is humility. Maybe it's about humbling yourself to realize the absolute futility of a life lived trying to be important. Now, trying to get the adoration and the affection of people, to me, seems rather fleeting, if not just shallow. And trying to believe that you're as good as anyone else is fleeting and shallow. Why not go beyond the confines of the mind, of the emotions, of the body, and do as maybe was suggested by Jesus when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," those who are not haughty, those who are not seeking to be important, those who are not trying to make their mark, shall we say, in the world, and rather are seeking to find themselves for what they are. What is more important to you? People's affections and their adoration that can change at any moment, for nobody likes you anyway. No matter what you do, they're going to find fault in you. The speck in your eye is the beam in somebody else's, and this just goes on and on, this whole idea of trying to garner affection. What means more to you? Awakening to love, or what other people think about you? Awakening to what true love really is and how it works within you, or living for the opinions and the affections of people who are just as insecure as you are psychologically and emotionally, just as insecure? What is more to you? What is worth more to you? The sake of love within you, or the sake of their opinion about you, whether you're worthy to be loved? Now, that's a personal decision I cannot make for you. And, you know, I can give you an argument on both sides if I really wanted to, but I'm not going to do that. Every single person, Sam, has to come to a certain point in their life where they decide how they're going to live their life. And usually this decision is made early on in our living, and we don't even know we're making that decision. We have no idea. Most people know little or zilch or nothing about themselves. They don't know their makeup. They don't know how their brain works, how their body works. They don't even know why they're here on earth. They have a bucket list, and that's as far as they go, and they just want to get through this life and maybe into death, and it'll get better. And that's the way a lot of people are thinking these days. These are YOLOs. You only live once. And that is just simply an alibi. And you can adopt any philosophy you want. people who talk about how to feel better about yourself, they can fill up stadiums. Here's all you have to do to feel better about yourself. There is no way genetically to feel better about yourself. Your genetics are your body, and they are the body you have incarnated in. Genetics are genetics. That's all they are. To sit there and try to make them change or rearrange them in some way in order to make yourself feel important is absolutely absurd and a waste of a lifetime. So I say go to the other end of the spectrum. Instead of trying to find out how great thou art, find out what it means to be poor in spirit. In other words, not haughty, not looking for adoration, not looking for people to adorn you with their affections, to begin to see your life for what it is, your life. And how is this going to be lived, this life of yours? Are you going to live it estranged from love, or are you going to live it in pseudo-love? Are you going to live for affection, or are you going to live for transcendence, getting beyond all of this craziness? If you get mixed up in your mind, in your emotions, in your passions, you're going to be lost and afraid eventually. And as people grow older, I find that they morph into versions of their parents that they kept hidden either from themselves or other people and didn't tell anybody about. Low self-esteem is one of the deepest, most maniacal kinds of situations, conditions a person can have. You can be absolutely miserable in hating yourself, and yet in doing so, it gives you the license not to do anything with yourself. So, Sam, what can I say to you? How important is being important, you ask me? Not important at all. You only live in this body for a certain period, and then you either die in it and create another one, birth and rebirth and birth and rebirth, over and over the cycle, or you choose to transcend it, to no longer make that a question in your life, to awaken to whatever you are. And you have to find that for yourself. You have to, that has to be the guts of your living. And if you don't have those guts for your living, I call it horsepower. If you don't have the horsepower to really make that important for yourself, no one can for you. You're going to have to go through many, many countless lifetimes. I don't know how many, you know, per se, but you're going to have to go through a lot to get to the point of realizing that, one, nobody likes you anyway. No matter what you do, there's jealousy, there's people that like you for a while, then hate you. Go look at my series, Nobody Likes You Anyway. Just go look at it. It's on the website at aspire.org under TV. Just go take a look, and it may help you. I'm sorry that you're struggling with this, and thank you for your very detailed email. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one. This comes from Alfredo. And he does not tell me where he lives, but he gives me his name, and I thought that was nice. Getting people to like me is difficult. I realize I must be important, or I want to be important. How do I become important to people? Alfredo, if you only are important to people and not yourself, no matter what you do, you're going to be expendable. The most important thing you must do is understand the self. What is this self that you want to be so important to everybody? What is this self? What constitutes the self? Who wrote this to me? That's a part of the self. Who has the questions? That's part of the self. How much of an answer can you hear? You've got a predestined attitude about the answers you can hear. You may be asking the wrong question. Maybe the question isn't about the self. Maybe it's about the part of you that the self cannot absorb, cannot use in some way, cannot abuse you. The self is an abused thing. Believe me, it is. It's a psychology. It's a neuroticism. It's schizophrenic. It can be so many things because it's all based in psychology. And do you know your psychology? Have you been analyzed? Have you taken tests? How do you know about this self? The only way to do that is you're going to have to take a diagnostic test to understand your proclivities to different aspects of your emotionality. People have a deep problem when it comes to the idea of understanding the self. What is the self? What are we talking about here? How does this self manifest itself? What are we talking about? Is it your mental acuity? Are you going to be able to change that? Is it the state of your emotions? Are you going to be able to change that? How are you going to deal with this self? You have to show me the self. One of the most humiliating experiences I ever had, and it was humiliating. Well, I was in India in a group, and the teacher, and he was really good. He was really a good teacher. He asked me to stand up and show myself. And I stood there, and I had no idea what this self was. Yet, if you had said something to me about, what do you think of yourself, or why'd you do that to yourself? You cut yourself, or something like that, I could probably give a vague answer to that. But the real truth of the matter is, what is the self? I had no idea. Yet I lived as a self. The Gregory is a self. I gave it a name, or my parents did. And then if you say Gregory, I look at you, oh, you want to talk to me. That self is so vague in us. And yet we act and live out of one, thinking that we know what the self is. Know thyself, said Socrates. But what is this self? What are we talking about? Know thyself. What? I did a series on that, on Socrates. What is self? And it changes over the years. It augments itself. It morphs itself into the expression of our genetic nature and our basic fear of our DNA. So you're saying getting people to like me, I must be important to in order for that to happen. Why? What would make you important? Would it be an occupation? Would it be your lore? The people of who have opinions of you? What would denote being important? I say all of that is hogwash. Absolute waste of a lifetime. I'm not worried about what people think of me. I really, really do mean what I say. Nobody likes you anyway. They'll like you for a while, and then the minute you say or do something they don't like you anymore. Just the way people are. I wouldn't base my life on people. So the only thing I can say to you is, if your affection for yourself, or your love, as you would call it, for yourself depends on what other people think of you, then you have a severe mental problem. And it's emotional as well. It comes from the emotions, and you need to change some things about yourself. You need to change who you are. You need to change what you are. You need to change the way you are. And you're not going to do that. And basically, I don't think a lot of people can do it. So What is the job here? To transcend. You have no other choice but to no longer identify with whatever it is that you identify with inside yourself that has confused you, berated you, and basically disowned you. Because in the end, most people just disown themselves and they just run rampant looking for someone to love. Like Gracie Slick said, don't you want someone to love? Don't you need someone to love? No. You need to find out not who you are, but what you are. Until you find out what you are, you will never, ever, ever be happy, or shall I say, awakened. And the whole idea of living is to awaken. Alfredo, you're probably not going to do that. You probably don't even understand what I just said to you, but it's out there, and maybe one day this will ring true in you and you will understand what I just said, and maybe it could help you. Don't look for happiness. Look for love. Please forgive me. Namaste. Running out of time here. I'm sorry. Last one is from Lauren. Lauren does not tell me where he lives. He talks about himself in the email as a he, so I know it is. He said, you got to get more friends, and you get more when they think you're important. Then you're not so lonely, right? No. Birds of a feather do flock together, but you have to understand something, Lauren. You know, loneliness, it is a disease that people come to when their emotions have run the gamut and have not produced something significant to make a person feel like they are important. I know people who are very, very popular. Very popular. And they are lonely, lonely people. Very lonely. And their loneliness, I've known famous people in my career who are very, very lonely. And the only reason they do whatever they do to become infamous is not to be feeling those pangs of loneliness. And they have admitted that to me, every one of them. So I understand what you're saying, but you have to understand what you're saying. What is it that's most important to you in the course of living your life? To find out who you are, or to find out what you are? As I said earlier to Alfredo, you have to find out what you are. You're a what, not a who. The who is your persona, your ego, your humanness, and that is fleeting. It comes, it goes, and then it is no longer. You want to find out what the state of your being is. What are you per se? And most people are not interested in what they are. They're only interested in if the what can make them a who. And that is the most important thing in their life. They want their affection and adoration to shore up their low self-esteem and their psychosis and neurosis. And it isn't going to work. It never has. It never does. But people insist on doing this. And in doing so, they miss. They just do all sorts of crazy things. People like in the 70s, Evel Knievel. I think of all the personalities that people have in trying to get people to love them. You want love, but you don't really want love. I say to my students, you have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. And that one always blows them away, and typically they miss. And I'm out of time and I gotta go. Anyway, thank you, Lauren, for your question. I'll send you another email and and amplify a little bit. Thank you for listening. Gotta go. Please forgive me for this one. Namaste.